Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tune me in at Ionia, WIONII 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock and in the Lowell Ada area 100.3 FM and I welcome you to our broadcast time this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you that are listening by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over the current, up over the Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media shows up, and you click on that, and it takes you to the broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of our service today. And I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast. Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from the Greenville area. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. Thank you to each and every one of you that are part of my support for the broadcast time. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. We're picking out our music this morning, and I appreciate her ministry so very much. Invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church in what we call the Orleans or Shiloh campus. It's Saturday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, it's the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and LaRae Street, and that's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you would so desire to do. As you join me, I'm coming to you on a Tuesday evening. It's really quite a warm evening over here at the Lighthouse this evening, but there's some activity on the lake. There's still some water skiing and some of those things going on. But I happen to have a cough this week. It started on Monday afternoon, and I've been coughing right along, so I thought I better get this done before I don't have any voice left. I need some voice at the end of the week to do some funerals that I have that are scheduled for me to do on Thursday and on Saturday. But we just thought I better get this radio broadcast done this morning, this evening rather, so it'll be ready for the broadcast time. So I'm thank you for tuning in with me. And the message this morning is entitled A Glimpse of the God of Time and of Silence. Sometimes God is silent, folks. And God sure is the God of time. He's been here ever since there's been time. He always has been, everlasting to everlasting past, to everlasting future. I love the verse that says, Thou art God. And we know that He is. So as I come to you this morning, we need to just be grateful and thankful for all that God has done for each one of us. And we'll get started in our broadcast with a song that's just going to say that to us, that God's still there. He's still God. He's still who He is. He's still doing what He has always done. And that's just a good thing for us to know as we get started this morning of God's goodness upon our life. So here we go. I'll be back in just a few moments and share the message.
Dawn of uncertainty, clouds of fear linger like the night, a day that feels so cold and dark and desperate, but I know where to find the light. I pick up the timeless, the truth that will remain, and read what will never change. Still, God is on His throne. The Bible is His word. The gospel changes lives, and every prayer is heard. His plans could never fail, not even one detail. His purpose will prevail. He was, he is, he will. Life, disappointments come. Sometimes they're like a string of stormy days. We can learn to look beyond the moment and see what's yet to be with eyes of faith. When we look for the eternal, hope rises like the sun. So trust, no matter what's to come. Still, God is on his throne. The Bible is his word. The gospel changes the lives, and every prayer is heard. His plans could never fail, not even one detail. His purpose will prevail. He was, he is, he will. Still, he takes care of his children, and he inhabits them. All men to trust him, and still he'll come again someday. Still, God is on his throne. The Bible is his word. The gospel changes lives, and every prayer is heard. His plans could never fail, one detail. His purpose will prevail. He was, he is, he will stay.
I'm holding to the
God is still going to be there all the time. You know, he's reminding them as his purpose is going to prevail. God is still God. He's still on the throne. And we need to know that regardless of what we're going through this day, whether it be very difficult or very blessing. So we're going to talk about time today. We're going to think about the time that God goes with us and what he does for us. We're going to speak to, near the end of our time together, about the silence of God. We need to learn how to deal with the times when we feel that God has been silent towards us. To get started with that, though, I want to remember you, the listening audience. That's who I'm ministering to this morning. You are my congregation this morning, as I share with you. I can't see anybody here. The lake is just in front of me, but you know, I just got this microphone. But many of you have told me you're listening in, and I've got faces that I can put into my mind that are listening to the broadcast this morning. So I'm reaching out to you in a very special way, and I want to remember you and whatever you're going through in your individual life today. So let's just bow for a moment to prayer. Father, this morning, we're going to talk about time. You are the God of all time. past, present, and future. And God, you are still on the throne, and I appreciate that. Your word is still the eternal word that has been given. Your Son, the Lord Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we're going to claim those promises as we think about your word this morning. Think about the fact of the gift of time that you've given to us. And we want you to minister to us. So I want to pray for the listening audience. I don't know what they've been going through this past week. Maybe it's been a difficult week. Maybe it's been a blessed week. We thank you for any of the goodness that has come their direction. But through the difficulties of life, I ask that they might sense your presence. You've promised never to abandon us. You've promised never to leave us, that we might have courage and help, know that help is coming from you, our great and mighty God. So, Father, we bow before you and ask that you just be pleased with the listening audience to bless them, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, whatever it is that they're going through this morning. Father, I pray that right now they might sense your presence with them and that you care for them and what they're going through. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, let's think about the gifts of time. Time is so precious and so valuable to each and every one of us. In our walk with Jesus, there will be times when it seems like God is so direct in our life. He's leading us, so to speak, on every situation of our life, and that God is always right there when we need him. Those times we should thank him, but in our walk with the Lord Jesus, there'll be those times when we may think God is not with us. But in those times, we need to trust the promises that he will never abandon us. And that's what we need to hang on to. I came across this, what I really appreciate, this little statement. Even if it seems like your prayers seem to bounce off from the ceiling, even if you do not sense God's presence, even if you feel God's feeling absent and silent from you, the reality is exactly the opposite. God is with you. God loves you. God hears your prayers, knows your needs, and is involved in your life. He is there and he is active. It takes eyes of faith. May I say that again? It takes eyes of faith to see God's hand at work in our lives, even when it seems like God is absent or silent. When you can't see his hand, I love this statement, you need to trust his heart. God's saying, I'll never leave you. There was a period of time between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. It is called the 400 years of silence, when nothing was heard from God. I believe we need to learn from God, and how he might deal with us in our life is to help us to keep a balance in our life, expecting God to continually speak to us and doing things for us, and at the same time come to that place where we understand that there will be times in our relationship with God when he seems to be absent from us, and we still need to continue to trust him. He even tells us in his word about learning how to know when to speak and when speaking is necessary and when silence is also necessary in our relationship with others. What he said in the book of James instructs us, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear, but slow to speak. Then in 1 Peter 3:10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. From this we learn it is good to be one that hears, but at the same time it is good to be one that is slow to speak. Which was the idea? It is good to learn how to be silent, and sometimes it's good to learn that silence is golden. As we think about this week, we need to remember those times when it seems like God has forsaken us. When it seems like there's no sense of his presence with you, in those kinds of times we need to know that God is really all the time with us. He never will abandon us. He will always be right there. Rather, we sense his presence or not. If he is silent, he's working on something that's going to be a blessing to you in your life. A glimpse of God at the time that is seen in time next to life itself. I believe time is the most valuable gift we have. And we should spend this time wisely. God shares with us in his word, there's time for everything. I love the thought he says there's a season for everything, every activity. He says there's a season of these things that we need to do. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, that has been loved by so many people through the years. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, when God gives a whole list of things that there is time for. And some of them we'll like, and some of them we'll say, that's good. And others, which we'll talk about in a few moments, will be totally different in your life and my life. We'll think, I don't like those kinds of times. Listen to what he says. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. Now you know that. We all know that. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. That's what he's reminding us. There's a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which has been planted. There's a time to kill, and a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to lose and a time to keep. A time to throw away and a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent. And a time to speak. There's a time of love. There's a time of hate. There's a time of war. And there's a time of peace. You've experienced many of those things in your life. But I want us to think this morning, as we consider these things that are here, that he's reminding us to everything there is a season of time that goes through this process. You know, there's a time to be born, that's a process. There's a time to die, that's a process. A time of the process of months that leads up to a person being born, that leads up to our time of life. I like to think of life as layers, just like an onion. Do you ever think about your life? The different layers of your life as you think back over? There's the layer of your life or the season of your life when you're just a child, childhood days. You're just beginning to grow. Whenever I do funerals, I always like to see the pictures of when they were children, what they looked like as a child, to see the smile on their face and some of those kinds of things. You know, he's reminding us there's the layer of the school days of your life. As you started school, for me and many of you under the hearing of my voice, it was an old country school somewhere. As you started school, there's your teen life. Teen life is so much different now than it was in years gone by. Then there's your young adult life, when you're in the prime of your life, in your 20s and so on. Then there's the older part, adult life. There's your extended family. There's you in the workplace. There's the social side of your life. There may be the church side of your life as well, I trust. There's good times and there's difficult times. There's healthy times and there's sick times. That leads to a time to die that may come at any time in the season of our life. Have you noticed that? Death just doesn't come to those who are old. Death comes to some in childhood. We laid the baby to rest that only got the gift of life for 2.5 hours. Some it comes in the early adulthood. We laid our second daughter to rest when she was only 35. Dear people, there's no realization or no promise that you're going to get 70 or 80 years. And we realize that death can come at any period of that life. I love it that there is a parallel of life through the things planted and the things harvested. I love that. I was a part of farm life when you planted the seed and when you harvest the crops. When they planted the seeds of the onion, and later you harvest the onion. And it was a whole process during that period of time. It was a season to plant. It was a season to harvest. There was a season in between that to cultivate and to weed and all the other things that you did at that time. One time Jesus spoke about this when he said, "The kingdom of God is as a man scattering seeds on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and a seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields its crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle, because the harvest time has come." Isn't that true? Isn't that a part of the life that you and I are living today? We see that all around us. We see the farmers is harvesting the potatoes now, harvesting some of the wheat a little while ago. Some of the soybeans will soon be harvested. Some of the corn will soon be harvested. All of us went through a process of the beginning and the ending, just like the birth and the death of a human life. You know, today, one day this week, I should say, Bev and I were on our way home. We was driving on Long Lake Road coming from Greenville. And there's a tree on Long Lake Road that has a big part of it red already. You know, if you live in Michigan, you know what's going to happen pretty soon? Our world's going to change around us. Just today, as I'm putting this broadcast together, I look across the lake and there's nice and green. My neighbor has been mowing his lawn and it's nice and green. But you know what? In a short period of time, all of those trees will change color, will they not? And God will beautify his creation in Michigan and make it something beautiful with all the different colors of trees. You and I have went sometime or another on trips. We call them color tours. We want to see that. Sometimes it's nice right where we live. But sometimes we like to go, like I like to go up north where my cabin is in the Kalkaska area and go over through the Jordan Valley and over in by Traverse City and so on and see some of the beautiful colors of the leaves. I love it. One of my favorite times, one time when I was up north hunting, we was there bear hunting. We went into this woods. I think the town was something like Ralph or something. Anyway, they told us what it is. It's just two-track. They said it's a long two-track. It's about 17 miles long. And we went back in there with our pickup camper and the guys that was hunting with me. And we were going to do some bear hunting. You know what? The whole thing was maple trees. And it was golden, just as golden it could be. And when the sun came out, it was golden all the way around us. What a special time. I even now, though that was many years ago, can sense the beauty of what that looked like at that period of time. God says the world is teaching you that it changes. There's a time for everything. And the world tells us there's a season for all those things, a glimpse of God of the time. When we remember there's a season of life and that death can come at any time in the season of life, we must remember that that life goes by so fast. I like it what he said in the book of James. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go and do such and such in a city. We'll spend a year there. We'll buy and sell and we'll make a big profit." Listen to this next part of the statement now, folks. Because this is where we all really are in reality. "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Isn't that the truth? It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. When I think about time, it's one of the things that I'm so glad to God that he made it all the same for every one of us. He puts us all on the same plateau. He's saying life is swift. And we need to break life down. Let's say we break it down into a week. Do you know what there is in 1 week? There's 168 hours. One thing that I've loved about that, if you're the President of the United States of America, you get 168 hours to do your work. If you're sitting in jail someplace, you get 168 hours. Every single one of us gets the same period of time. If you're rich, if you're poor, it doesn't matter. We get 168 hours in every week. How we use this time is our choice. And God gives us a list of things that may take up our time as we go through our everyday life. I want to go back and pick up that portion of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And I want to put it into my way of thinking. I want to put it into some of the things that has to do with my life. It says there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. I think of the family I just talked to recently that had a pet for about 17 years. And they had to put it down. It was their beloved pet. And it caused a lot of grief in their life to think that that pet had to be put down because it was so unhealthy. There's a time to break down and there's a time to build up. When I sit in my home and I think of the remodeling projects of our home, I know there was times when I was tearing things apart to make it better, when I'm making some different additions in different ways. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. I think of the saying, I liked it so much, goes like this. All of life cannot be tears, and all of life cannot be laughter. But life is a sweet mixture of both tears and laughter. We need to know that. A time to mourn and a time to dance. I think of the event of a funeral. Or the event of a wedding. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. I think of the work that I did on farm fields, picking up stones, putting them on a stone bolt, and later throwing them on a pile from the farmer's field. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. I believe we all have felt that when to embrace a person and when not to. A time to gather, to keep, and a time to throw away. I thought about that as I was standing in my garage and looking around. I think it's a time can either throw away, a time to tear down, and a time to sow. I think this mostly has to do with what we wear. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. And I think everybody under the hearing of my voice have experienced when we did the reverse, when we spoke, when we should have kept silent. And we know what we did, open mouth and insert foot. The last two, I believe, has taken place inside of us at some time or another, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Whatever time you're in, remember, this too shall come to pass, and it will. I like the idea of, I came across this little phrase that said, this too shall come to pass. When things are bad, remember, it wasn't always this way. Take each day one at a time. When things are good, remember, it wasn't always be this way. Enjoy the great blessings of that moment. What is some good advice to you and I about this thing called time? I need to take a break to give my voice a little bit of a break and have a little swallow of pop and maybe suck on a cough drop for moments. So I want us to listen to a song, and this song is talking about God, would you heal the wounds? Would you heal the wounds beneath the scar? You know, wounds leave scars in our life, and those scars sometimes causes us all kinds of difficulty as we reflect upon those wounds. Well, we're asking God this morning in our song that we're going to be listening to, God, would you heal the wounds that are beyond the scars? And would God minister to each one of us? Let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments.
To dream that each mistake could be erased, that I could just pretend I never knew the me back then. I used to pray that you would take this shame away, hide all the evidence of who I've been.
For getting that song, Heal the Wound Beneath the Scar. I don't know if I've ever heard that song before, but you know what? There's sometimes the scars of your life and the scars of my life. We need to have those wounds healed. The Lord Jesus, when we see him, he'll have the wounds when he became sin for us. But he tells us that by his stripes and by what he was wounded, you and I can be healed. No, I'm so glad the way God put us together as just a human being. He's given us such strong determination. Have you noticed that strength of determination? Whether it's a child or an older person, we try to do everything that we can possibly do. But you know, in my 84 years of life, I've learned that sooner or later, something happens in every one of our lives that is bigger than us. And you know, when those things happen in your life and my life that is bigger than me and bigger than you, we need somebody else that's bigger than us. We need something bigger than us to be able to get through those kinds of times. You know, most of the ways of a human being on planet Earth, if God is left out, is all earthly thinking. It's all that which comes from earthly wisdom. This is how you should handle it from the earthly thinking, they would say. What we need, though, is some wisdom from above. And I love the description of what God gives about wisdom that comes from above. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and it's peaceable, and it's gentle. It's willing to yield. The peace from above is full of mercy and of good fruits. The peace from above is without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace by those who make peace. God's reminding us that when we make peace with Him, there's such a blessing. He even talked about this in the Old Testament. I love what the wisdom from above is able to provide for our lives in the fruit of righteousness and in peace. In Isaiah 55, 6 through 9, God gave us an invitation to come to Him for wisdom. Listen to what He says now. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He'll have mercy on him, to our God, who for He will abundantly pardon. We need that in our life. Then God says this, folks, and this is why I need the wisdom from God every now and then in my life. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If we want to respond to the call of God, we must ask ourselves, is anything changing in my outlook towards life, especially what I think? Do I only have earthly wisdom at work? The Apostle Paul explains this when he says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. We must seek not only God, but we must seek His wisdom. What would God want me to do in this situation? What is God's thoughts about this? We must first be willing to open our minds to God's thoughts and then pray to God that He would give us the understanding of His thoughts. In the Bible, it is called the renewing of your mind. You know what He says in the Bible? He says, don't be conformed to this world's thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. You know what He's saying? You and I sometimes need some of God's thinking. Just this earthly wisdom will just lead us down a path that sometimes will cause us a lot of difficulty. And that's why I want to talk about these last two things before we close our broadcast today. Is because sometimes we find that God is silent. But His word is not silent. Just think with me the difference between what God tells us over and over again. God tells us in His word that we ought to have some quiet time. The Lord Jesus, when He was here, He often went to the mountains to have some quiet time. They often went to different places where they could get away from people, so to speak, and just have some silence. Do you know this idea of silence in our society today is fast becoming a lost art? We seem to need and want all kinds of noises around us. But in reality, in the business of our everyday life, now and then we need a time out. We need to have a silent time. One thing I've noticed when I turned into the 80s is that a nap in the afternoon is a must thing for me. I got to tell you, time it gets to the middle of the afternoon, I try to do it not when I be doing a funeral so I don't fall asleep at those periods of time. But I got to tell you, it used to be a 10-minute nap. Now it gets to be about a half-hour nap. And every once in a while, it even gets to be 45 minutes. I need a time out. My body needs a time out. I'm a very busy person, but I like to have a time out once in a while. And you know, I was encouraged this week when I was thinking about the life of the Lord Jesus. He'd had a very busy day, teaching all day long. And the evening had come, and he said to his disciples, "Let's cross over the other side of this body of water." And they were leaving, and Jesus went down to the bottom part of the boat, and guess what Jesus was doing? He's taking a nap. When I think he's only in his 30s, but he took a nap. I think it's okay when you're in the 80s to take a nap. I think that's an important thing to do. I love that one poem that says, "Everything I needed for life I learned in the kindergarten." And one of the things I learned in the kindergarten, you got to take a nap. And you know, that's what God is saying to us. Let's just listen to this story. "And leaving the crowd, they took him and with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were there with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were beating in the boat, so that the boat was ready almost, the boat was beginning to fill up with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion," Jesus was. "And he awoke him." I think they shook him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his will. That's from the book of Mark, chapter 35. We hear it was Jesus who said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side, this body of water." That was that they was going to get across to the other side. It was not uncommon that storms came up so suddenly. The disciples were fishermen. Some of them were. They've known this before. This storm maybe was a little bit stronger than some that they had seen, they had experienced before. So it created in them fear in their hearts and in their minds. The turmoil of all the fear that was happening inside of them caused them to feel helpless and caused them to have some anxiety. So they cried out to the sleeping Jesus with these words, "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" When we feel God is silent, don't we cry out that way sometimes? "Where are you, God? What's happening? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about what I'm going through?" Many people have cried out that way to God. And we realize that it is something that is very common when God seems to be silent. When God doesn't seem to be on top of whatever's happening in your life. Jesus awoke and he rebuked the winds and the waves and they obeyed him. And I love it what it said, "There came a great calm." Can I say this? You'll never appreciate the calmness that comes until you've gone through the storm. You know what, folks? Not only did Jesus rebuke the storm, the winds and the waves, he rebuked the disciples. "Why are you so afraid?" Jesus said. "Have you still no faith? Haven't you learned what it is to walk with me? Haven't I shown you enough evidence for you to know that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, that I'm going to go with you all the way? They had not yet learned that Jesus can also quiet the heart as well as quiet the sea. He can quiet the raging fears of the heart and the worries. Later, Peter wrote this. He said, "Beloved, do not be surprised about all the fiery trials that come into your life as the strange things happen to you. But rejoice in as much as you are suffering with Christ, that as you suffer with Christ, you also will have the glory of knowing what comes after the suffering. Sometimes it's necessary for me. Sometimes it's necessary for you to go through some times that we just don't understand and allow God to teach us in the silence of himself to us. It's a time to have faith. It's a time to trust in God. I love it. Another story is given to us about the same kind of thing back in the Old Testament. It's just a little bit different, but I want to give it to you before we close so we can see the comparison. A glimpse of God's silence. You know, when Jesus calmed the storm that we just talked about, they say that the word that he's used when he said, "Be still," is the word hush. Sometimes it was just a gentle shut up, hush, and the winds and the waves obeyed his will. And there came a great calmness. As I've been speaking to you today, there's become a great calmness on Long Lake. It's not like glass, but the waves were bigger when I came over here. You know, God tells us one time in his word, "Be still and know that I am God." You know that idea of that word "be still" means? It means let go, let go. Let go of all this anxiety. Disciples, he could say to them, as he's saying to me, as he's saying to you, let go of all this troublesome of your mind and trust me. You know what he goes on to say in that verse in Psalm 46:10? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. To illustrate that, I want to tell you a story about a man who was overwhelmed in his thinking. Of all the things that he had been through, some great blessings, some great encouragements had come into his life. And then the queen had told him that he would be dead by tomorrow. And so this man, Elisha, went running away. And he hid. And God came to him and provided him with food, and then God sent him on his way. And finally, he come to the place where he wanted to die. He was in such depression. And God came to him. And now he's at a mountain near Mount Horeb. And he tells this, God comes to him and says, "Go out and stand in the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound, now listen, of a low whisper, just a still small voice, a low whisper. That whisper makes us want to listen harder. When you think of all the noise that there had just been with the earthquake and all the noise there had just been with the wind and the noise there had been with the fire, all of a sudden, there's a whisper. And God's got the attention of Elijah. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of a host, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they seek to kill me as well." He's a pretty discouraged guy, folks. I've had some tough times, but not quite that tough in my life. And he's totally discouraged. Let me just share a comparison about something about this when I talked about the wind and the earthquake and the fire and all that kind of stuff that was taking place. I love it that God has his own way in getting his word to us. In Mount Sinai, God spoke to Moses and the Israelites. It says there was thundering and lightning and even louder sounds of trumpets preceded and accompanied the word of God. It was just a noisy thing, and then God spoke. Now here we are centuries later, and you know what it says? This Elijah man is at the same mountain. He experiences the storm and the earthquake and the fire. He could have thought, God's going to say something, and is ready to listen to God speak in the thunder, but it was not in the thunder that God spoke. And then all of a sudden there was a silence. You and I need a time of silence in our life. And all of a sudden there was a silence. And in that silence there was a whisper. And that whisper got the attention of Elijah. I believe Elijah was all of a sudden realized that he was very fearsome hearing all the storm. But I believe that whisper really got his attention. Really got him to know that he had something that God wanted him to do. God's silence was so very difficult from all Elijah knew before about how God spoke. And yet God used the silence of a whisper to get the attention of Elijah. If you don't know the rest of that story, God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? I've still got something for you to do. I've got some work. I've got three people I want you to anoint. And one of them that I want you to anoint is the one that's going to take your place when your job is done. I don't want you hiding out in a cave. I don't want you hiding out in this mountainside. I want you to go and do what I've told you to do. And that message came to Elijah in a silent time. If you feel that there's some silence in your life this morning, we need to realize that we've got a great God. And this great God loves us. And this great God wants to be a source of strength to each one of us. And when you have a great God, and that great God has faith in you, then you know you can accomplish. I didn't realize that's taken off so fast. But God bless you. Listen to the song.
Maybe you're having one of those days. Let me tell you what I do when things aren't going my way. I don't fold up my tent, I don't call it quits, but I call on the same name Moses did. Before very long, reinforcements are on the way. When you have faith in a great God, and he has faith in you, when you become an instrument to work a miracle through, there's absolutely, positively nothing you can't do. When you have faith in a great God, and he has faith in you. God spoke to Moses and told him to see Pharaoh. He said, go get my children and tell them I am told you so. Now Moses knew he was just one man, but one's all you need when God has a plan. Before very long they were waving so long to Pharaoh. Have faith in a great God, and he has faith in you. When you become an instrument to work a miracle through, there's absolutely, positively nothing you can do. When you have faith. has faith.